It's 12:32 a.m. in an abandoned asylum in Dover Plains, New York. And you're listening to Night Call.
Hello, and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. I'm Tess Lynch here in L.A. With me is...
Molly Lambert. And joining us in New York, as always...
Emily Yoshida. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Are we ready to take on a hot topic?
Hot pod topic.
We're ready to be the voice of dissent.
Are we ready to be the voice of the millennial generation?
Are we ready to be old? old AF?
We are in time about the Thank You Next video, the Ariana Grande video.
Very, it's popular, I've heard.
Very popular, very internet bait-y. Not my favorite.
Why?
Well, you guys know I don't like 2000s nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. It's too soon?
It's not that it's too soon. It's that it sucked at the time, and why would you be nostalgic for it?
Oh, like, that's all nostalgia, though.
No,
like,
but, like,
it's like editing out all the bad parts.
Like, people that were, like, into the whole, like the Britney, Lindsay, Paris years. Like, just even at the time, I was like, this is garbage. Like, who cares about, I don't know, like, I like Mean Girls. Everybody likes Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I like that she made herself Regina George instead of Katie. I thought that showed some self-awareness. I thought it was like, you know, Ariana can do, this was like maybe like her heel turn a little bit, maybe, because she can sort of, like, she cast herself as the bitch, which is funny to do.
Yeah.
Right. It shows that
kind of. I mean,
well, it made more sense than like when Taylor Swift did it. Like, she was
right,
better
okay.
at it than,
yeah.
you know, being so, like, I'm the bitch in the group of girls, not
right.
the...
Yeah. I actually don't mind the aughts nostalgia, and I understand it, especially for like maybe Ariana's core fan base who didn't actually live through it as like adults, and maybe, you know, have more of a rose-colored view on it, or like, oh, I wish I would have been an actual teen when Mean Girls came out, which is just like hard to fathom, I think, for us. But because I was like probably not even a teenager anymore when Mean Girls came out. I can't remember. I wasn't.
I saw
high
it in college
anymore.
For free.
Yeah,
nice. Yeah.
And it was great.
but so my main issue with it is twofold. One, the song, which I think is a move off book for Ariana that I think is bad. It is Taylor Swift, like self-mythologizing, like work out who I'm talking about stuff, which I think is just like petty and not something she usually does.
She makes it super easy, though. She actually says they're not like hidden
in
the liner
pictures
notes.
Of them in the video.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Taylor does a little bit too.
But there's that. And then also, I just cannot stand, and Taylor has been doing this for a while now. Everybody does this, but Taylor's maybe done it the most egregiously. But I hate the movie reenactment music video. I think it's so stupid.
Has it ever been done well? I'm trying to think if there's a counterexample of like a movie.
So the
video
most
that I like.
Most recent famous one, again, like kind of with this teen movie nostalgia, was the Fancy video, the Clueless Fancy video.
Right.
There's a not as seen, oh man, and now I'm trying to remember. Oh, it's like an EDM video for like a song that I happen to like, that's like a Thelma and Louise reenactment.
Ooh.
That I stumbled upon because I was trying to find.
Oh, I think I've
song.
Seen that video. That's a great video.
It's an above and beyond music video, but it's and it's just like a beat by beat, like just not Thelma and Louise, but just let's do Thelma and Louise. And it just feels like kind of, I mean, sometimes it works in moments, but I just think in general it feels like kind of an empty gesture in most cases. Like, I don't know what's new being brought to the table other than like, get this, like, you know what this is.
Well, somebody on Twitter was like, Family Guy ruined culture because this is just a thing where it's like, hey, remember this thing?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Remember it?
Too referential. Yeah.
Or just like without adding anything to it.
Yeah, I think you can be referential. I think that right now we're kind of in a weird nostalgic compression because we're still getting a lot of 80s nostalgia stuff. With stuff like Stranger Things and that kind of thing, and then still kind of lingering on the 90s, and now the aughts stuff is really kind of
right. It's
coming
just
out. And I'm mad because we skipped over the turn of the millennium entirely. We never really did the late 90s. Like, we're going straight into Mean Girls, and I feel like that's we missed
90s.
The best stuff.
Did you want like a Can't Hardly Wait?
No, I wanted like I don't know. Maybe because I have no idea. I wanted more like Y2K stuff. I wanted more like...
Well, I want to say that the other videos from this Ariana Grande era have actually been really great and original and some of the best music videos for a pop star in a million years. So I thought especially the No Tears Left to Cry video kind of was like a... amazing Y2K video almost in that sense where you're like, oh, it's like you're trying to recreate anime in music video form.
Right.
Yeah.
And I liked the God is a Woman video, which is very God silly.
That one's
But those are both like, you know, I feel like she's both earned the right to do this and also it's tacky. I don't know.
You think it's cheesy and tacky?
It's just like theater kid shit. It's just like YouTube shit, you know? Like,
you know when somebody breaks up with somebody and then they're like extremely performative about how over it they are? And you're nobody who's really over it is like this performatively like over it, you know? Yeah. And that's all that that song and video is. And it stresses me out. Well, it's weird, too, because it's like it is like, hey, I'm taking all the advice everyone's giving me about like not jumping from relationship to relationship and like learning to love myself. But I also I said this on Twitter.
She's with Ari now.
I predict she'll be dating G-Eazy by New Year's.
Really?
That's my prediction. She can't resist.
You should put a poll out.
A tall dirtbag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should I put a poll out?
Yeah, I didn't hate the Thank You Next video. I'll go ahead and say it. I'm a Miranda Sings fan.
Wait, isn't
nice
Bring It On?
Colleen.
Bring It On's late 90s.
Is it? Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, you...
And 13 going on, I guess 13 going on 30 was when? 2003?
Nobody knows because nobody's nostalgic for that movie except Ariana Grande, I guess.
Look... Me too, a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I watched 13 Going on 30 and had feelings about it.
I don't think I've ever seen
Garner
13.
Is lost on me.
Oh,
it's
really?
Good because Mark Ruffalo is the boyfriend.
Oh, right.
It's not a movie without a heart.
I'll watch any movie where Mark Ruffalo is like the mumbly boyfriend who's like...
Which is what he does best and what he does only. I love Mark Ruffalo.
Can we do an episode about In the Cut sometimes?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Wow. I was actually going to try to rewatch that.
It has its moments and they all involve Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Hotel Echo Alpha Delta.
The holidays are just around the corner. How's your holiday shopping going? I know I want to get my family nice things for the holidays, but it can be hard to decide what to get people as a present. For a really special gift for the special people in your life, you've got to check out Canvas People. Canvas People prints your favorite memories on canvas and turns them into unique works of art that add a beautiful touch to your home. When I heard about Canvas People, I thought, what a cool way to turn photos of my family into art for the wall. The prints are like pieces of art. With Canvas People, you get your favorite memories printed to cherish and beautiful prints that look great on any wall. Now, as a special, very limited holiday offer, CanvasPeople.com is offering their popular 11x14 photo canvases for free. That's right, free. These normally sell for $69.99, but for this week only, you'll pay nothing, just cover shipping and handling. To get your free canvas, text CALL to 484848. Just pay shipping and handling. This offer won't last. Text CALL to 484848. That's CALL to 484848. Message and data rates may apply.
Sierra. Uniform. Papa.
I didn't hate it. There's something about hating it that makes me feel old, and so I refuse to let myself hate it. And honestly, like, I went into a really deep spiral about YouTube stars a couple years ago. I know a couple of them, and I find their worlds, like, very fascinating. And I think the way that people respond to them is a lot like people responded to bloggers back when we all were bloggers. So I try to be a little bit, like, you know, to refrain from being a hater, to hate
her
back off.
Well, again, I don't think we do hate Ariana in general. We like her. We just felt like, I don't know, something about the video and the way it was rolled
out. It's just pandering. It's just like made to be a, it's made to be a YouTube smash.
Well, that's the thing, is that anytime anything is so clearly manufactured for popularity, it's really hard to have an, you know, a kind of organic response to it, I think.
Yeah.
And especially like the anticipation of this video was so intense that you were already like bored of it by the time
it
dropped.
Right. I think that's just what happens now. It's like the cycle is so much faster. And it used to be like if you were a huge pop star, you could build anticipation for something like that over like months or like a month.
But personal,
this entire summer.
Like,
yeah.
Personal anticipation is so different from collective anticipation. Like personal anticipation is a real thing, whereas collective anticipation is something that even if you have no interest in a music video, but you watch everyone anticipating it, you become swept along.
And then you also sometimes are like, why am I not being swept along with this particular tide?
Makes you angry.
I hold Ariana to high standards. I love her. And I want the best for her. She's a good pop star. She's a great pop star.
She's the last pop star.
Well,
I think,
she can't dance. That's the thing that stops her. But you know what? Neither can Mariah. Is the greatest.
I have to say I breathed a sigh of relief when she broke up with Pete Davidson, and I'm really hopeful for her future.
You shipped it? Well, but it's okay. We can talk about it some other time. we should move on.
Emily pointed us to this really great article in the New York Times by Jenny Odell that probably everyone has read by now.
Came out about a week ago at time of recording. And so, you know, hopefully people have read it by the time you're hearing this.
It's called A Business with No End. And it's hard to even say what it's about. Would either of you like to take a stab at it? It's one of the densest things that I've ever enjoyed reading, I think.
Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I forgot to read it.
Oh, well, we'll explain it to you.
The graphic made me be like, what is this about?
I have to say some of the like long reads graphics are really not working for me in general.
Well, wasn't this like, this was like a
it's the
face
one with the face coming
out of a furniture catalog.
Like the Amazon store. Yeah, yeah.
The way that long reads are being presented now is like you have to have this interruption of like a blinking, like a little mini web page. I find it very like somehow ancient looking. It's not working for me.
So basically this is just like a very long internet rabbit hole that begins with the writer hearing from I think a student of hers or something that their parents or their family had been getting these packages delivered to some LLC that they had never heard of, like Valley Fountain LLC, and this, you know, kind of weird like kind of predictive marketing and like, you know, the thing where there for a while there were all these Amazon stores that would just do sort of SEO products that were just predictively created. But then you ended up with all these bizarre things like an iPhone case that had like medical images on
it. So yeah.
I don't know, like dissected legs and stuff on an iPhone case just because like somebody just found that people had been searching for that and then decided to put it on an iPhone. Or nobody decided to.
A robot decided to.
Yeah. But so she found that this company, one of many that was owned by this guy, Jonathan Park, who was associated with this Christian university called Olivet University that was in the news recently for being a part of the whole sort of weird thing that brought down Newsweek. It's like it's hard to say this in like distinct sentences because it's just like and then
because it sounds the way SEO wrote the story.
Yeah. It involves the IB Times buying because Olivet University was basically the scam where they would bring like students over on student visas to the United States to study, quotes, at Olivet University, but really they would just be working in a content farm, like doing clickbait for IB Times.
God. And it was kind of presented as like, they were like, oh, it's an incubator for young entrepreneurs. Yeah. We're teaching them to be entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're like Stanford, which like we have a revenue generator that's not, we're not fully dependent on tuition. Like we do research, but their research was just like creating clickbait. And then I guess also creating these stores And I learned the term drop shipping from this, which
yes.
is like sometimes, have you ever been on Amazon and you've been looking for something and you see all these different retailers that will sell this face cream to you, and then one of them is like, for some reason, $50 when the rest of them are $13?
Yeah.
And that's basically what this is. So drop shipping retailers don't keep any inventory. They just, when they get an order for something, order it from overseas and have it shipped to you. So it costs like three times as much and takes, you know, a zillion weeks. But they're, I guess they're just preying on the 1% of people who are, you know, don't realize
probably
what they're
old.
Doing. Yeah, probably old.
Really?
Yeah, just honestly.
For the
yeah.
$50, is there like an advantage to it?
No,
well,
no.
They make all the money.
Yeah.
You know, they make the, you know, difference between how much they paid for it and how much you get it for. And they're
yeah.
just kind of playing the odds with Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. But these companies that are registered and like associated with these Amazon stores, I mean, this is like the stuff where I start to get like feel creepy. Like you start to have a weird feeling in your stomach like you do for the entire article.
Yeah.
Because the companies are named like, I wrote some of them down. Bro Pastures.
Yeah. Bro Pastures is the best one.
Dreamlish. Your Friend Bart LLC. and then the creepiest one is Giggling Eye. it's like, but it's all like upper caps, lower caps, like Giggling Eye.
The weirdest part of the article, though,
oh, it's so scary,
is that then there are like brick and mortar stores that are kind
yeah.
of born out of this whole enterprise that started as like an online kind of scam. And so there's one called Stevens Books that was, it, you know, and it's all the same group of people.
I think it's Stevens Book, though. That's
oh,
the weird
thing. Well, it's Stevens Bookshop, StevensBooks.com, and Stevens Book were all the like registered.
Yeah, they
names,
just registered every single domain.
And
then
have
there's
a store
this
in
actual
San Francisco. Where they said the writer, Jenny O'Dell, was like, I walked in and it just looked like a set for a bookstore. And like
yeah.
the sales clerk was like, oh, would you like to check out a book? Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
We're not a library.
Because no one comes in because it's just this weird front.
And did you
so
watch
crazy.
The video of the so the guy who apparently owns this, who's like registered as the owner of that LLC, is this like Eastern European guy who's in this video talking about the legacy of Stephen's Book.
And he's Joseph Bolansky is his name. But
yeah.
then he was like, oh, people call me Stephen or Joseph Stevens as my nickname. But it's he just bought the company like Stephen's Books as
Wait,
it existed.
Why do they establish a brick and mortar?
To make them seem legitimate, I think.
I guess just to have like a toehold in reality. But then it just becomes this weird
but
like
mirror.
But it's not
mirror. Like having an independent bookstore is profitable.
Well,
no.
I think what happened was they buy an existing business, like Stephen's Books is like an existing business or something, especially like an older business, they fill it with their merchandise. And then
yeah.
it's like, oh, look, it's not fake because it's existed for 100 years.
Yeah,
because you know,
then
a
they're
brand
selling
that's been around.
They're selling like finger puppets or something at the register at Stephen's Book, like that are also sold by these
and
other
like
stores.
Retinol cream. They're
yeah.
selling like butt cream and like baby fingernail clippers and like a scary horse head for a toddler to wear.
One of their most successful stores is called, what's the name of the store? It's so awful. It's like Little Martin's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's so awful.
Everything they choose is like so off that it must
so
be a science.
Scary. Yeah.
This week's episode of Night Call is brought to you by Zola. Zola is the wedding company that will do anything for love, and it's reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in a couple's life even happier. From engagement to wedding and decorating your first home, Zola is there combining compassionate customer service with modern tools and technology, all in the service of love. So, funny story, I actually used Zola this past summer when I did marriage, when I committed marriage. You know, we had a variety of different needs, and sometimes you start looking through a registry for one place and they have some of the things you want and not some of the others. And Zola is just a really great place that kind of picks from a bunch of different brands and things that you know you want already, but you don't have to, it doesn't all have to come from one store. And it makes it really easy to put together
a registry that's easily shareable that your friends can come and peruse online. It's just really clean and simple and easy to use. So when you join Zola, you get to create a free wedding website, which you can do in minutes. It's very stylish. There are 100 different website designs to choose from. You can add photos and stories about the wedding. And also when you register, your Zola registry automatically integrates into your Zola wedding website. So all your guests can get all the details they need and buy you a wedding gift in one convenient and beautiful place. You can also put FAQs about your gifts and your registry, about your wedding, all of it right there in one place. Their store has the widest selection of gifts, all at different prices. You can choose from over 500 top brands from KitchenAid, Cuisinart, Sonos. I registered to get some Brooklinen sheets on Zola, as well as a coffee maker, a Cuisinart coffee maker that I love very, very dearly now and would not be able to live without. You can also do honeymoon funds and travel gift cards and other experience registries on Zola as well. So Night Call listeners, to start your free wedding website or registry on Zola, go to zola.com/call. That's zola.com/call. So that's zola.com for wedding registry, free wedding website, and so much more. Go to zola.com/call.
My favorite thing, one of my favorite things about the dystopia hell world, I feel like I've said this on the pod before, but just like when you go to William Gibson's Twitter and it's just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. Well, so this is like one of these things that totally, and this was a subject that I remember on being on a short list of stuff we wanted to talk about before we even started the podcast, which was those like kind of like SEO generated YouTube videos for children that are made to just be like automatic, like all the Johnny videos and stuff like that, which has now weirdly gotten to the point where it's like a mainstream meme, the Johnny thing, but all these horrifying things. So it's like Spider-Man, Elsa, kill blood, like, right. You know, whatever, like a 4-year-old is trying to type into the YouTube search bar, and then all the autoplaying ones that would come up after that. And that being a weird thing of like, what happens when we just let the internet take the steering wheel and it always ends up being like
that. In this it case, always ends up being a nightmare.
But it's like the people who end up bearing witness to this stuff and actually encountering it are either going to be very small children or old people who don't know how to do the internet, which is very interesting. I think.
With my older kid, he was really into like, you know, a bunch of YouTube videos.
Right, I was going to say, didn't you encounter this firsthand?
Yeah. So, I mean, with my son, you know, this was like 6 years ago, no, like 5 years ago. I just had no idea these things existed. So we would be looking at, you know, I didn't really like the like unboxing videos, but there were some informative like truck vehicle whatever videos. So it was like, how does a like hydraulic ram work? How does like a and so it's hard to find a movie like featuring these things. So I was like, sure, let's watch YouTube. But then everyone else whose kids are into like weird niche subjects eventually lands in the kind of like diabolical YouTube zone. And so I remember when I first saw them. And also there was one called, I think, Insane Gaz, which was these like it looked like video game cars, and it was just car crashes, but they weren't real. So it wasn't like obviously as horrifying as if they had been. But there was
weird. You can't really tell the difference when you're it means the same thing. Yeah.
So I think in a way, other than people who don't know how to use the internet and children, I think there's this interesting thing of like mostly I think children watch them and then their parents discover them. And like the parents are so horrified and the kids are kind of like they don't know to be horrified yet,
right,
I guess.
Yeah.
Which is in a way like its own narrative of
being terrified.
Well, I
warned my brother about it the other day because he is a kid who started watching like truck videos. And I was like, don't just let the algorithm pick.
Yeah.
He's like, you should keep an eye on it because there are these weird videos.
Well, it's also strange how something that's kind of just not pieced together in a thoughtful way can be so disturbing, but also right.
That's
like
what
lack
makes
of,
it the most disturbing.
It is, but in a way, it also makes it somehow just, it confuses you. It's hard to know exactly how to react. It's not the normal feeling of being like horrified by something.
Right. Cause you can't think about it as like it having any intention.
Exactly. It's the lack of intent that's really kind of breaks your brain. And I think that's like in this article.
Is the intent to break your brain?
I mean, the article does break your brain as you're reading it.
It's like, breaking there are my parts brain hearing you explain it, because it's like it's all logical, but it sounds like such insane nightmare fuel.
I mean, it just feels like one decision is made after another that is like made without having thought about any of the decisions that came before. Like, it's like, oh, well, we bought this bookstore because we had to, like, I don't know, for whatever reason.
You know what, like, though? It's like, it sounds just as insane as, like, any tech company's, like, strategy, when they explain it, when they're like, oh, we bought this VR company that's unprofitable because we're going to turn it into a teddy bear company that watches your children and sings them lullabies.
Right. But Molly, can I read you like a little piece of this really?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's legal.
Of
but
course.
Yeah. Standing inside
Stephen's
books.
It's legal to read from a newspaper.
Standing inside Stephen's books was like being on a stage set for Stephen's books, Stephen's book, Stephen's bookshop, and Stephen's book. All at the same time. It wasn't that the bookstore wasn't real, but rather that it felt reverse engineered by an online business or a series of them. Being a human who resides in physical space, my perceptual abilities were overwhelmed. But in some way, even if it was impossible to articulate, I knew that some kind of intersection of Olivet University, Gradia Community Church, IB Port, the Newsweek Media Group, and someone named Stevens was right there with me among the fidget spinners in an otherwise unremarkable store in San Francisco. It's so mind-bending.
The space is really uncanny because it kind of just feels like, it actually feels like a thrift store, like from what you can
see. Well, that's
what I was
going to
say.
Like from the description, it sounds like a pawn shop or something.
Right.
Like,
but
it's just
all
a random
the books,
assortment.
It's like whoever put together the shop doesn't even know enough about a bookstore to know how you stack books on a shelf because they're all stacked up and down. It's so crazy. It's so creepy. Like, it's just off by that much. It's like being
right,
in a dream.
Right. It's like no production designer in the world would actually like make a fake bookstore look like that.
It's like only like Tommy Wiseau. If Tommy Wiseau made a bookshop, it would look in San Francisco, it would be like that.
Well, also, they have a department store in New York.
Okay, yeah, this
Emily
is the one I
went to.
This is like one of my favorite parts of it. But Trinity Place appeared suddenly in downtown Manhattan in 2012, the same year that IB Port Incorporated. That year, Racked wrote about how the department store had popped up to sell brands including Sylvia Lee, Trolley Dolly, Rock and Royalty, and Birkenabi Couture. The Racked journalist wrote, if none of these names mean anything to you, you're not alone. But Trinity Place is quite real. It's now called Lee's Department Store. On a recent visit, and that's L-E-E-Z for some
obviously.
Reason. On a recent visit to Lee's, recognizable brands were mixed in with disconcerting objects, like a $59 hat that said Oslo, Iceland on it, and something called Granny Attic Bubble Foam. Both items appear to be made by J&G Korea Co. Limited. Products from Little Martin's Drawer and Asavia were prominently displayed. A sorry assortment of wooden furniture haunted the second floor. While the third floor remained dark, empty, and forbidding, visitors were informed that it is now an event rental space.
Where is this located?
It's downtown in the financial district in the middle of nowhere. I was just going to go. Like, so that's the cool thing about the article. If you look at it on the desktop, is that they do like they kind of show the process of like clicking one name and going to the next and doing like a find and like, you know, the actual what it looks like to go through this rabbit hole of like one corporation after another. And so they do like the thing of looking up Lee's and doing the Google Maps Street View and everything and trying to figure out what all the stuff is. Just that weird thing of the internet. Like leaking into real life, kind of is displayed really nicely.
Can I ask you guys a question? One of the things that I found like most disturbing about this is that everybody involved, for the most part, is part of like this evangelical organization.
Yeah.
And I think without that, it wouldn't have this like weird sinister thing, not because they're evangelical, but because they're all members of the same religion and they're all working together. If there weren't any kind of like ideological glue going on, then right. it might just seem more like
then it would just almost, be like capitalism.
Then it just right, drift, exactly. Yeah.
It's I think the idea that's kind of like creepy about it is that everyone's kind of denying their involvement in this and at the same time running a university that espouses evangelical
but
values.
It's a content farm. Yeah. I feel like there are other like MLM type things that are connected to churches, right?
Well, yes. And it makes sense why. I mean, like a lot of people who are deeply religious, obviously, there's a lot of time spent at home with lots of kids. Not to generalize.
It's true. But then Shout out also to our friend Jane Marie and her podcast, The Dream.
It's fantastic.
Which is really great. All about multi-level marketing.
Yeah.
A thing we're all interested in. But yeah, that's what I thought this was going to be, was like that the university was a front for multi-level marketing. But it's like weirder because it's deeper than that
and shallower than that at the same time.
I think slightly adding to the creep factor is the fact that they were like operating out of a former sanitarium in upstate New York.
Segue.
Which got us talking about that for a while. That was the one in Dutchess County, upstate, or like
outside
Poughkeepsie.
Well, upstate New York, I think we've talked about this before. Upstate New York is like the cult zone for the East mm-hmm. Coast.
Yes.
The place where people go to form their cults.
When we were discussing this article, all three of us thought we were talking about the same deserted asylum that Olivet University was trying to buy, and we were all talking about different ones.
Yeah,
we had been to one. We're like, I've been to that mental hospital.
And all the pictures we shared, it looked like they were the same, but they were totally
well,
different.
Well, you guys were talking about two East Coast asylums. Mm-hmm. Let's clarify which ones those were.
So mine is in, my asylum is in, I believe it's Dover Plains on the Harlem Valley Metro North line. It's the one that you pass. I think it's around Dover North. So it's Harlem Valley Psychiatric, I think.
Emily, what was your psychiatric hospital that's abandoned?
Mine is outside Beacon, New York. It is called the Craig House Institute. It's beautiful. I did a little bit of like sneaking around it because it's like abandoned, but there's still furniture and stuff inside.
A little urbex.
It was known for being a place that both Zelda Fitzgerald and Truman Capote spent some time. So.
Oh, fancy asylum.
When Emily mentioned that, I was like, I don't think this is the same asylum.
It's a beautiful build. It looks like the Xavier Institute or something. It's really,
oh,
really
yeah.
pretty.
Yeah. It's like all bricky.
How long has it been abandoned? Do you know?
Things on the East Coast that just stay abandoned for 100 years baffle me because...
Well, dude, we have a Target in the middle of Hollywood that's been sitting half finished for a million years.
That's true.
They're going to start building it again next year.
Oh, really?
Yes, they are.
Well, I was going to say the asylum I was talking about is a West Coast asylum in Downey that I've actually never been to, but that is abandoned and... Seems
I feel like somebody must have used that for a haunt or something.
I feel like maybe I saw that like Marilyn Monroe was there as a kid or something. Those buildings are obviously super, super creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like of all institutions, the ones that shut down, if it's a mental hospital, they just tend to just sit there unused way more than other things.
Right. They sit there unused and then you're like, oh, remember when we got rid of all the nationalized mental health care?
Right. Yeah. There's
Here are
this,
these buildings to remind us that it wasn't good, but that didn't mean we should get rid of it.
Right. Yeah. There's a way to repurpose that in a good way, but apparently nobody really feels like it. So now they're just like, ooh, scary place.
There's this, I think it was a hospital, and New Yorkers can maybe correct me on this. I just always notice it and think about it and feel spooky. There's like a former hospital that's empty that's right before you turn in to go to JFK. And I always want to like go in there and wander around. Sometimes you can see a light on inside, and I don't know.
I like that you're like, that's spooky. Where I want to go.
I want to go there.
25/8/15/5 Today's episode of Night Call is brought to you by Simple Contacts, the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. Instead of heading to the doctor year after year just to renew your prescription for something you wear every day, you can do it on your own time and terms in just a few minutes. This is vision care for the 21st century. So I love my eye doctor, but I don't love paying a ton of money just to find out that my prescription luckily has stayed the same. I've also been having a lot of trouble fitting going to the doctor into my schedule other than my periodic eye health exam, which I would never skip because I've already told you guys about my eye emergency. But when it comes to just checking your prescription, it takes a lot of time and a lot of money, and there's a much better way to do it. So Simple Contacts is super, super easy. You can take your vision test online. When you just want new contacts or need to make sure your existing prescription still helps you see 20/20, Simple Contacts takes the hassle out of the process. In literally 5 minutes, you can take your vision test from your phone or computer without leaving your house. I took mine from bed, which I highly recommend, but you could take it from wherever. Within 24 hours, a real doctor reviews your test and writes you a new prescription. Bing, bang, boom. New batch of lenses is on its way to you. There are no appointments or waiting rooms. You don't have to pay for an office visit. Just go to simplecontacts.com, complete a redness check and an eye chart test, and you're all set. If your existing prescription hasn't expired, you can just take a photo of it and send along your doctor's contact info and order your lenses super fast. The contact lens prices are unbeatable. The vision test is only $20 and shipping is free. I think the whole process took me less than 10 minutes, which is less time than it would have taken me to just schedule an appointment with my doctor. Today, Simple Contacts is offering Night Call listeners $20 off your first Simple Contacts order. To save $20 off your lenses, just go to simplecontacts.com/call or enter call at checkout, C-A-L-L. Again, you want to see your doctor to make sure your eyes are healthy, but when you need a contact lens prescription, Simple Contacts is the fastest, easiest way to renew and reorder. Again, that's $20 off your first order at simplecontacts.com/call or enter call at checkout.
12, 5, 15, 8, 1, 25, 8, 23, 8.
Hey guys, speaking of places where it's hard to go, we've all been talking about a Russian fisherman who pops in and out of the conversation. He posts Twitter pictures of creepy deep sea fish that he finds.
Yes, he's a Russian fisherman who trawls the deep sea, I think. Is it? Where does he trawl? We said it last week, but we didn't actually talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Did we not even talk about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we never talked about it.
No, we mentioned it as the location. Back. It was like the gray waters of...
The White Sea.
The White Sea, I believe. Nice. So, yeah, he trawls the deep, deep sea and finds all kinds of sea creatures that you've definitely never seen in your life.
Yes.
That all look like aliens.
His name is Roman Fedortsov.
And it's unclear if some of the creatures are perhaps a little like radiation affected or something.
Oh, did you think that?
I don't know. That was my thought. I was like, what's up with some of these guys? The three-eyed fishman
story.
What's amazing about some of these is they look like the images from those traffic. What are they called? Like the junk links at the bottom of articles, where it's like
one weird trick
to lose weight.
Yeah,
but it's like a finger with holes in it or something.
Don't eat this food or this.
That's
will happen
so
to
funny. You.
You
said the finger with holes in it. I saw a lotus pod yesterday, and I was about the great lotus pod. Nightmare phenomenon of the internet, where somebody photoshopped a lotus pod onto a breast.
Yeah, we think we talked about that very, very early in this podcast. I think we talked about that.
Then I saw the lotus pod and I was just like, it's so cool that exists in nature.
Yeah.
Just a thing full of holes.
Just to give you nightmares.
Well, that's what's cool about this Twitter feed also, is you're just like, wow, nature is so much cooler than human beings.
Yeah.
A lot of these fish just have like a lot of teeth.
Yeah,
some
many
of these
rows
fish
of
just look silly. They just look like rejected prop department.
Yeah,
like, that's too silly. Nobody will ever believe that looks like that. I'm looking at this fish from November 19th, but
is
he says
the black scabbard fish.
So I think a lot of these fish are really deep sea dwelling ones, and so when they are brought up, the pressure makes their eyes pop out or like their internal organs
yeah, I was
pop
looking,
out.
It's any fish with a swim bladder, it like it distorts them when they're brought to the surface.
Yeah.
So yeah, their eyes pop out and they look all like funky.
No wonder they look so weird.
But they already look weird.
The translation in this tweet says, "If you think you're not in good condition, this is what happens with the redfish during a quick rise from the depth." And then you've got this guy with like what looks like a giant giant, like, inflated water balloon tongue coming out of his mouth.
It's very, oh yeah, it's so very awful. Goth. It's so goth. It's the gothest feed. Yeah, like part of me is like, let them be in the deep sea.
Well, it's also, they look weird because in the deep sea, apparently they can't, like in this popular science article from a couple years ago, I was like, wow, it's like, I never knew any of this. And it just seems like something where you keep seeing these weird creatures and it never really occurs to you, be like, why are they this way? But yeah. Apparently they like, food's really scarce, so they're really, really thin. They have giant eyes so that they can catch any light because there's, like, no light. And then their legs are all spindly because otherwise they'd, like, sink into the mud at the bottom of the seafloor.
It's like walking in heels on the sand.
Exactly.
I just saw one that made me so unhappy that I had to put
good,
down my phone.
Oh, good, yeah.
I'm, like, just, I'm so upset
we'll
right
post
now.
These on our social media.
Yeah, it's just, like, nature is so cool and nightmarish. Human beings suck.
But sometimes, you know, you just, when you're a Russian fisherman, you just find what you find.
I mean, yeah. How many of you guys, including me, had the being a Russian fisherman fantasy for like an hour after looking at this?
No way.
No,
not me.
You know, I just live on a boat.
I want to live in the Arctic Circle for like a brief period of time, but I don't necessarily need to find things in the water. I'm cool just like...
I'm morally opposed to fishing. I used to fish when I was a kid, but then I kept, I would either like try and toss them back, but then be concerned that they would die. And then eventually I had like a bunch of rainbow perch living in aquariums like outside, and then they would fling themselves out of the aquariums and just die on the grass.
Oh my God.
Cured me real quick of fishing.
Haunting another test house.
Another test lunch animal story.
I'm sorry. At one point I was like, I should eat one, I guess, to try and eat it. And we like deboned this teeny tiny rainbow trout and ate him on a cracker. And it was like just the worst situation. It was terrible.
I saw a really cool lizard at a used bookstore the other day that kind of felt like it was a set, even though it was a real used bookstore.
Which used bookstore?
It was in Pasadena, and I had never... been in it before, maybe, but it had
Which
this
one?
Amazing like orange bearded dragon. I think it was called Alley Books.
I think I've
thing
been
on
there
the front that was like the best bookstore three blocks from a bus stop.
It's useful.
Why were you in Pasadena?
Just hanging out, doing
just
my thing.
The little young lady from Pasadena. Go, Molly, go, Molly, go, Molly, go. We've been listening to K-Surf.
We've talked about Jan and Dean like five times on this podcast. And I wanted to say that I drove Dead Man's Curve the other day. And Richard Rushfield was right. It is a very wussy Dead Man's Curve.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a little scary because other people drive bad, but yeah. It's still...
Don't do it in the rain.
It wasn't in the rain.
All right,
I drove around a bunch on Thanksgiving when nobody is around and there's a lot of good driving. And I saw people straight up like drag racing on Sunset. It was great.
Oh my God.
Don't do that. Stop that.
We do not condone drag racing.
Okay, guys. I think we should take a night call.
Let's take a night call.
Night call.
Hey, you guys. My name is Kent. I'm a new listener to the podcast, which is fantastically awesome, by the way. I wanted to call. I don't know if you guys are still interested in creepy stories or mysterious stories. So this happened to me when I was in probably middle school in about 1980. I think I was 12 years old. Anyway, there was a guy who lived in the neighborhood who was a couple of years older, and he claimed to have magical powers. This guy's name was Daryl. And he would tell us that he was going to teach us how to enchant objects and produce an incantation that would put a spell on somebody or a bunch of other stuff like that. And we got to be pretty naturally skeptical of him. And so he said, all right, I'm going to prove to you my powers. And he said, come on, we're going to walk down this street. And as we walk under this street light, the street light is going to turn off. I'm going to use my power. So we did. We walked down under the street light, and the street light went off right as we walked under it. We walked probably like a half a mile to the end of the street, and when we came back, he said, now the street light will turn on. And when we walked underneath of it, the street light turned on. The curious thing is I've noticed that many times since then happening to me. As you pass by a street light, it turns off. Sometimes the opposite is true. A street light that's already off, as you pass by, it will turn on. I was wondering if this had some type of a brainwave, electricity, metaphysical explanation that was just beyond the ability to detect it with our own senses, but that maybe there's an actual explanation for why it happens, or who knows, maybe it's just creepy mind powers. So I did some internet searchings, and I saw a few sites kind of devoted to it, and most of them really poo-pooed the idea of something supernatural happening and said, well, it's just coincidence that it happens. But my experience has always been, as I'm driving, right as the streetlight is coming over me, that's when the light goes out. Anyway, interested to know if you guys know anything further about this. And thanks for the great podcast. I'm going to go back and listen to the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening, Ken.
Yeah, that was a great night call.
Yeah.
And I've been, I'm so glad that you did a spooky one, because I feel like we haven't had any spooky stories for a while. So.
And I love this because I had never heard of it, but it totally makes sense to me in some weird way and makes me think of the Twin Peaks opening credits, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
There's something spooky about streetlights to me maybe anyway, because they signal that it's night. Tess, you did a bunch of research on this
phenomenon. Well, I looked into it a little bit. So this is a thing that's called streetlight interference. There's a Wikipedia for it. There's a lot of Reddit threads about it. People who believe in this being a kind of paranormal or like based on human energy output are really, really, really firm believers, and they will not be swayed. They've done like some kind of experiments to see if they can recreate this, and people who say that it happens when they pass under streetlights or whatever, that it's like particular to them, they can't recreate it. So, you know, scientists are very skeptical of this. I think somebody somewhere said that that it's possible that the connection between the lamp and its socket gets looser over time. And so if the connection is interrupted, then the streetlight will go off. And then because of what kind of bulbs are used or whatever, it takes a minute for them to go back on. So I think theoretically, when you drive or pass under a streetlight, you could, even just that kind of vibration might disrupt the connection. But then Psychic Insights .wordpress or whatever says,
yes.
They say, personally, I make streetlights go down, make TVs go statically nuts. I also can't hold a credit card or I'll destroy the magnetic strip and it won't work. So do I believe people when they tell me these things happen to them? You bet I do.
This reminds me, I need to watch Poltergeist for a future podcast.
Oh, we got it. Well, we'll be talking about that in the following podcast.
That's what I'm saying.
Podcast.
We'll get it. Yeah.
I had a friend or a former coworker who she had a magnetic implant, just a teeny tiny. I mean, like intentionally, it wasn't a medical thing. It implanted into her finger, basically just to be able to say that she's a cyborg.
Wait, she got elective surgery for this, or this was?
Yes, it's like a tattoo, but it's a magnet in her finger.
Cool.
Yeah.
That she did, but strange.
But so I had to room with her at, I think it was at South by Southwest or something when we were working there. And her key card for the hotel room would always get deactivated every single day because she would, you know, brush her hand against it and deactivate it. So there's pluses and minuses to being a human magnet.
Do you think she could turn a street light?
I don't know. I wonder. I mean, I've noticed, I feel like I noticed this more in LA maybe, but like streetlights going on and off. And I always thought it was like to just cycle through or save energy or something. Because it felt like they went on and off in shifts. But
some of them maybe
have
motion. I mean, I think that some of them do have motion sensor. I always assume they did.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a slider, S-L-I-D-E-R.
My dad used to claim that he could like change them. And then I realized he just had figured out how to time it, you know, off the yellow on the other side.
Yeah.
But that worked on me for a very long time
lights,
in childhood.
Not street lights, though.
No, traffic lights.
Yeah.
But that's what I think we also are talking about, right?
No,
this is like the street lights.
Traffic lights are predetermined.
they're on a timer.
That's why I brought up Twin Peaks at the beginning, because I thought we were talking about traffic lights.
This is street lights.
This is the asylums all over again.
if anybody who has any experience with this or themselves can turn traffic lights on and off, is a slider in real life, please give us a night call, 1-240-469, or a night email at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, thank you, Kent, for your call.
I love
learning of a new phenomenon.
Me too. And I want to know if anyone thinks they can turn traffic lights on and off.
No, Molly, no, it's not
Why
a thing.
Why is that crazy? Because street lights is normal, but...
street lights don't control traffic. Also, please follow us on social media so that you can share. Facebook group for Night Call, there's been a lot of really good paranormal stuff going on. So we're Night Call Podcast on Facebook, Night Call Podcast on Instagram, Night Call Pod on Twitter. And please remember to review, rate, and subscribe if you don't mind, wherever you listen to podcasts.
What are you seeing after?
So I actually am not going anymore. I thought that I had mortal engines after this.
Oh, Morty. What did you call it?
Morty engines. I'm looking forward to my steampunk party.
It took me
party.
So long to decode that tweet. And then when I did, I was like so mad at you.
I can't wait to talk about the steampunk movie next time.
Thanks for listening.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you.